the whole idea of this is to take politics out of the process. And, you know, just like the BRAC Commission did, they took a look at our Department of Defense across the entire nation strategically. How can we be effective? And where have some of these bases outlived their usefulness? Some of them we would have had to spend hundreds of millions of dollars to revamp, which is the same thing with our federal buildings. I mean, some of them, the tenant improvements are so costly that some of these buildings, we've just got to sell off and do the redevelopment in the city, and it'll create jobs, a lot of jobs. But we've got to take politics out of the process to do that.
Now, the administration has been trying to sell off excess space, and they had very ambitious goals expressed about half a year ago. That seems to be stalled. So would this be a way of getting around that?
Yeah. I mean, the federal government has a horrible, horrible track record of trying to sell properties. Over the last 20 years, they've sold 25 properties, and we've got 14,000 properties that are on the underutilized list, properties that are, most of them are sitting vacant, that we just got to be able to sell off. And, you know, when you're talking about jobs, this is an opportunity to have redevelopment and to create those jobs. So I was glad to see the president had it in his State of the Union. He has it again in his jobs package. Now we're saying pass it now.
So why is this so hard to pull off?
Well, you know, as we saw in committee yesterday, we did put some properties in this bill, and you know, members are going to fight for the properties that are in this district. And so it becomes, you know, not just partisan, but when you start naming properties in certain people's district, that becomes a challenge. So,
oh, I see. It's what might look like wasteful property in this other guy's district. To him, it's votes.
Yeah. And some people are looking at the long-term process. There may be another agency that might want one of these buildings someday. I mean, you take a look at the courthouse that was supposed to be built in L.A. 10 years ago, and it's vacant land. But members of L.A. are still going to fight for that property, even though it's a half a billion dollar, $500 million waste.
So what's your feeling about overall how much excess space the government has? Do you have a figure or some kind of goal that's driving this BRAC style process?
We really don't, because unfortunately the federal government does not have an inclusive list of all of the things that we own. In fact, agencies don't even have a list of all of the things that they've either purchased or the things that they have in their inventory. So one of the goals in this bill is to actually do a complete inventory and know everything that we own. I mean, you know, we obviously are targeting first the billion-dollar properties, some of the things that, you know, islands and some of the high-rises that we just have no need for anymore. But there are small buildings across the entire United States that ag buildings or federal buildings that, you know, we once needed in every county that we no longer need. So it's going to be attracting those small properties as well as the big properties, and then utilizing local realtors across the nation to help us to sell those properties.
We're talking with California Congressman Jeff Denham, a member of the House Committee on Transportation and Infrastructure. Shifting gears just a little bit, still talking about workspace, though, you have a proposal for reducing the per-person square footage in new leases. Tell me how that would work.
Well, I think that we've got to have a structure around when agencies go out to lease property. First of all, we want the entire leasing authority to be with one department so that not every different agency can go out there and lease property. As we saw with the SEC, where they went out and did a half a billion dollar lease over a weekend, we've got to stop those types of practices. So we're, first of all, pulling in the leasing authority so that we have some control over it. And then secondly, you know, just like business, you expect that every person should have a square footage utilization rate. You know, in my office, we've got 86 square feet per person. There's no reason that the entire federal government should not know exactly how many square feet you need per person, and then really have a justification behind the types of properties. So, you know, rather than focusing on the view from the corner office, we should be looking at the best utilization and the best use of taxpayer dollars. So in some instances, you know, it's going to be smaller cubicles, or smaller office space. And others, you know, as you're seeing with Silicon Valley and some of the high-tech companies, they're doing things where you may have somebody that is working from home part of the time or on the road part of the time, and then you utilize that workspace with somebody else who can utilize it when they're not there.
Is there some standard or some architectural level that is considered an industry standard for how much square footage per person?
We are actually putting that together on a cap you know, so we are putting that type of efficiency into the bill, but there's not one industry standard. We've been working with professionals from around the nation and trying to get their, you know, from real estate professionals around the nation to get their standards.
Also, looking at the square footage per person, I wonder, do things like teleworking and hoteling and flexible work schedules, would that work its way into this to maybe help with how much space you give each employee?
Absolutely. And we have seen certain areas, small areas of government where that's being done already, but we want to expand that across the entire nation. Hoteling or utilizing the space when somebody else isn't there is a great opportunity. I mean, so many people have laptops now and PDAs that you can sit in a workspace that doesn't have to have, you know, all of your stuff in the desk that you utilize every day.
And getting back to the BRAC style process, all of these scattered little tiny properties that you've mentioned, like ag buildings and so forth, are definitely candidates for getting rid of. But what about fractional use of buildings? Sometimes a building may have 50 commercial tenants and only a couple of floors are federal agencies or something, or you know, some kind of a mixed use. How do you get at that as part of the inventory and try to consolidate?
Well, we have to have a utilization rate on every property that we own, whether it's leased property or owned property. And there may be an agency that only uses 50 or 60% of that building, but the other 40% should be rented out so that we're using private industry to help pay for that. I think a perfect example of that is the old post office here in D.C., where we've had a building that has sat vacant, a beautiful, historic building that is really close to the White House, which has sat vacant, costing us $6 million a year in upkeep, that we will utilize that now for not only redevelopment for a hotel, but also redevelopment for retail space as well. So there are opportunities where you can use part of a building and then lease the rest out and actually generate an income. But we've got to do things smarter, and every agency should be held accountable to that.
There are so many pressing issues on Congress's plate right now. Are you worried that this might slip between the cracks or get pushed to the back burner, even though it is part of that process to help save the country some money?
No, I'm confident we've been driving this bill. It's something that I drove on the state level. And from a federal perspective, you know, when you're in a crisis like we're in right now with $14 trillion deficit, we need to find every way to save money. And this is something that, you know, has got national attention through the president. We're doing it through the House and through the Senate. We think that this can be a win for the American people to really shrink the size of government, save the taxpayer dollars. We will have $15 billion in savings in the short term, but in the long term, really reducing the footprint of how much space that we need is something that will, for decades to come, save us money.